Seated. Turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God once again to the book of 1 Peter. And I'll continue the series of sermons through this little five-chapter book. This morning I'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 13 through the end of that chapter, 13 through 25. Reminding us, this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. It is, thus saith the Lord. He wants us to hear it, to rejoice in it, to believe it, and to live it out day by day in our lives as we are enabled to do so by His grace and Holy Spirit. So let's hear Him. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 13. Therefore, gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy ourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Well, based on the wording in this passage, the title of the sermon this morning is simply, Be Holy. That's one of the things that we're challenged to do in these verses. We are to be holy because the Lord our God is holy. Now, let me just, by way of introduction, remind us of where we've been thus far in chapter 1. We've been told that we are aliens, that we are chosen people of God, chosen to obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that God has caused us to be born again, and that He has given us an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, protected by the power of God for us. And so He's had our minds on these things thus far in this chapter. But now He wants to bring us back into the reality of how we are to live between now and the time we enter into our inheritance. And so these 14 through 25, the Lord is telling us what it means for us to be holy, how it is that He wants us to live in the here and now in this world as long as we have life and are present in this world. So again, pick it up in verse 14. The first thing He tells us is therefore, since you are the people of God, therefore, since you're aliens and chosen to obey, born again, therefore, since you have an inheritance, then these things should follow. Gird your minds for action. Now, that is a big thing, because what we believe, how we think in our minds, is going to determine to a large degree the decisions we make, the choices we make, what our priorities will be. And so if our minds are not right, then we're going to make bad choices, bad decisions, and we'll reap the consequences for that. And I don't know how many people you know who have lived their lives that way, but I know quite a few who have. And even being stubborn and rebellious to the point that they will not listen to those who are older and wiser. They think they already know it all. They don't think their parents can teach them a thing, much less their pastor. And so they just go their own way and do their own thing. And like the book of Judges says, everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes. Well, that's not the way God wants us who are his people to live. Turn with me back to the book of Romans for just a moment, to Romans chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2. And once I read especially that second verse, if you know anything at all or remember anything much at all about R.C. Sproul, excuse me, you will remember that his radio ministry was based on this second verse. Let me just read the first two. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so not only in 1 Peter, but also in Romans 12 and some other places, the Lord says something to us about our mind. We're to be renewing our mind in the things of God so that we can know the will of God. Now that has to do with the Word of God. That's where we find the will of God. It's in the Word of God. And so we need to be students of the Word. We need to read the Word. We need to study the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to memorize the Word. We need, like you are this morning, to be here to hear the Word taught and to hear it read and preached. This is the will of God for us. This is how we gird up our minds for action. This is how we renew our minds in the things of God. The Word of God is so important. And it's sad that we have a lot of people yet in this world in which we live who at least seemingly don't know the first thing about the Word of God. In fact, many don't even acknowledge that God is, much less devote time to His Word, that their minds, their thinking, their beliefs would be in line with what God says. And I was reminded of this again this week as I listened to politicians. I'm glad and thankful that the Lord has rooted and grounded me in His Word so that I don't get led astray listening to those people. But many of them don't have a clue about what's in God's Word. Their beliefs and their behavior is so far out of line with what the Bible says that it's really sad. It's just right out sad. They don't even seemingly know anything about what our Constitution of the United States says, our Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. And yet they're running for the highest political office in the land. And they're already elected officials who have taken a vow to protect our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when in my view, they fall into the group of the domestic enemies already because of their beliefs, because of the way they think, because of the things that they espouse and want to persuade others to accept, all of which are nowhere near in line with the truth of the Word of God. Well, that's why God challenges us who are His, to gird up our minds for action. We should be discerning concerning the things that we hear and the things that we see, and the things that are going on around us. We should not be gullible and buy into lies and falsehood. Isn't it said in the Word, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free"? But if we don't know the truth, then we can easily be led astray, and that's what all the false religions are about. And some of them have big numbers in them. Had two of them knock on our front door just the other day. That was an interesting conversation. But no, I didn't let them in, but I did open the door, and I did greet them, and I did say to them, "I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're here to invite me to come down to," and I named where they're from, you can tell who they are, "that's just not going to happen. Because I worship the one only living and true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And by the way, Jesus is God. John chapter 1 tells us that. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, about that time, it was turn around and down the steps and out of here. You see, these false believers want us to listen to and buy into what they want to say, but they don't want to hear what we have to say, even though it's the truth of the Word of the living God. Well, here again, all the more reason why we should gird up our minds for action, not just that we can have knowledge for ourselves, but that we live as salt and light in this world that so desperately needs it. The reason I prayed this morning, the way I did about our website and the cards, is that we not only are bringing glory and honor to God through these things, but we are doing our best in doing what's best for those people that yet do not know Him. I can think back to the time that I was not yet born again. That was not a good life at all. It was terrible. And had the Lord not saved me and changed my life, well, I'm glad He did. He's the one that gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if He had not done that and left me to myself, I probably wouldn't even be alive today. And there were occasions when He could have taken me out even before I became a Christian, if He had wanted to do it. It was that close more than once. But we're doing a good deed for people who don't know Him by inviting them to come here and giving them the gospel. God can use that to change their lives. And trust me, apart from Christ, their life needs to be changed, just like ours did. And I'm glad that part of our study in our training for elders and deacons, one of the assignments was to write out our personal testimony, how it was that we came to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And it's been very encouraging to hear men share that with the rest of us in our time of study. how God worked in our lives to cause us to be born again, and how that changed us from what we were to what we are now and are yet becoming. Well, we're to gird up our minds for action. We're to be salt and light in this world. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that's that verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ, talking about his second coming, his coming again. Fix your hope on his coming again, because he is coming again. And one day he's going to straighten out this mess and bring it to a conclusion, bring it to its end. And you can read all about that in Matthew chapter 25. And there'll be sheep and there'll be goats on that day. And he's going to separate them out. And we who are the sheep are going to be blessed. Those who know not him or his gospel are going to burn in the fire of hell forever. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ said. So we're trying to, as it were, snatch them from the flame before it's everlastingly too late, by inviting them to come and praying for them. But our hope is fixed on Christ and his coming again. For one day he will, and what a glorious day that's going to be. Well, he goes on, as obedient children, he's told us already earlier in the chapter that he chose us to be obedient. And so as obedient, we're not to be conformed to the former lusts which were ours in our ignorance. Before we became a Christian, we didn't know right from wrong. We may have thought we did. We may have made up our own rules. But we knew nothing about God's rules and paid no attention to them. We were ignorant of them. But that's behind us. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are separated from it by being born again. But like the Holy One who called us, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, not just Sunday morning behavior. Now, this is 24/7 in all of our behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay upon earth. Now, here again, he's reminding us that we're just aliens. We're just passing through. We have time on this earth, but short at that. Even if we live to be 100, and I think that's in comparison to eternity, that's about like one grain of sand down here on the ocean shore. It's just not much. But while we're here, the time of our stay upon earth, we are to conduct ourselves to live the changed life that Christ purchased for us by his life and his death and his shed blood and his resurrection. Well, let's read on. Knowing that you were not, and he reminds us again, you weren't redeemed with these perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as a lamb unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. You see, that's what redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has saved us. So we should live like it. And again, one of my statements, and I'm sure I've said it here before now, but I'll say it again because we need to be reminded. Those of us who are born again of the Spirit of God, we're Christians. Therefore, Christians should and really do act like it at least some of the time. Yes, our old sinful nature is still with us and it gives us problems. That's why we need to renew our minds, because our old sinful nature, our three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they want us to have a mind that is not convinced and persuaded by the Word of God. They want to persuade us to think like they do, to live like they do, to embrace the values that they embrace, to have the priorities that they have. But that's not the will of God for us who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And so this is why we are to be holy. This is why we are to have biblical behavior and thinking, because we have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the page to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll get this again when we get toward the end of chapter 2, but I just want to remind us that it's coming, and he keeps reminding us of things. And at my age, I need to be reminded. I have a tendency to forget. But look at verses 24 and 25 of chapter 2. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And so it is with those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has changed us by his grace and the work of his Holy Spirit. And so we are to live the changed life that he purchased for us with his precious blood. Now, jump on down to verse 22, and we'll close it out with these verses. Since you have in obedience, there's that word again, it was in 14, it was back up there in chapter 1 in verse 2, chosen that we might obey. He keeps reminding us that we are to be obedient. And since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. The distinguishing mark or characteristic of a Christian is love for Almighty God and love for one another. If we're going to be holy, it will be evidenced by our fervent love for our Lord, who first loved us, and our fervent love from the heart for one another. This is another reason why we should be reaching out and inviting others to come and be a part of this. They're going to see something in this place that they're not seeing out there in the world and the way it does things. I noticed the other week on Tuesday evenings when I come in, I scoot around and pick Charlie up to ride together with me down to the West's home for our men's study training for the office of elder and deacon. And as I get off of 421 to go down toward the armory, on the left-hand side of the road there is a bar, okay? Every Tuesday evening, I go past that place. It's like the parking lot is filled. And after I take Charlie home, after it's dark and I come back out, still, I don't know if they're the same people or not. If they are, they're going to need to have help getting home if they've been there drinking all that time. But parking lot still full of cars. And they're missing out on what real life is all about. They're trying to drink away their problems and to live in some la-la land. And then the next morning they wake up. I'm thinking they're looking for a fire hydrant that they can open wide open and put their mouth around to quench their thirst because of the night before. And if any of you have done any drinking at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a terrible way to live. And many lives and many families have been ruined like that. Went to Presbytery this past Tuesday and spending a little time with a ruling elder who's a friend of mine. And he was saying, man, you need to pray for our son. I said, what's the problem? He's an alcoholic. He's addicted. It's messed up his life. It's ruined his family. And only God can change him. See, people think, and it's the world's way of doing things. I don't know if you listen to country music or not. I'm guilty of doing that. And I like some of the stories. Some of the stories are good, but some of them are just lets you really know where the world is. But they had a song some years ago about this bar. This was a wonderful place. And everybody just liked each other and had such a good time there. You'd have thought it was their church, the way they were talking about it in song. And they're missing out on real life. Well, we're to love one another fervently from the heart. And when we do, that's the first evidence of being holy. That's the first evidence of being born again. That's the first evidence of living in obedience to Christ. That's the first evidence and mark of one who has been born again of the Spirit of God. And I'm so thankful to be in a group that does that. And that's why I say we've got a lot to offer to these people out here who know not Christ. This is really what they need and what they're looking for, but are not finding out there in the world. The world doesn't have it to offer. 1 John 4:19 says it all. We love because he first loved us. Now, that's the only way we can love, is to have first experienced his love. Turn with me again, 1 Peter, over to chapter 4, verse number 8. See, he keeps reminding us. It's good for me to be reminded. Chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, see, another way of saying, top of the list, top priority. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And it does. Just think about it. Spouses, think about it. Boy, if Joyce didn't love me, I'd be in trouble. that love covers a multitude of my sins, and I'm glad. And the love of Christ covers a multitude of sins. And when we love another person, we really don't hold a grudge against them for the things that they do against us. Sinful. We just keep loving them anyway because we love them. It's kind of like I said to some of you, and now, Nancy, you're in that group. If you give me chocolate, that means you're my friend for the rest of your life, and there's not a thing you can ever do to mess that up. Well, you see, that's the way it is when we love one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's not anything you can ever do to mess that up. And that's a wonderful, encouraging thing. So it is that we are to live this way. The Lord has redeemed us to live this way and to bring others into that relationship with Him and relationship with us. The word of the Lord abides forever. This is the word that's been preached to you. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, give thanks to you for reminding us of these things today, that we are to be your obedient children because you have saved us to be your obedient children. You have told us to be holy in all of our behavior because you are holy. You have called us out of the world unto yourself and made us different from those that are yet lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. We don't think like they do, we don't believe like they do, and we're certainly not to behave like they do. Father, I pray for my elder friend's son again today, that you would save him and bring him out of his addiction to alcohol to live the changed life in Christ. And Lord, there are many in our land who are caught up in all sorts of bad behavior, and they need to be born again of your Spirit to be set free from the addictions of the world and the things that the world has to offer. Father, I pray that even today would be a day which you save many and change them for their good and for your glory. Thank you again, Lord, for reminding us that we are redeemed with your precious blood. Nothing else gets the job done, but that certainly does. And we thank you again for shedding it for us. Thank you for reminding us to fervently love one another from the heart, and for reminding us that we love because you have first loved us. Enable us now, O Lord, as we go out into this world this week, to live like you have told us today that we should. Enable and empower us by your Holy Spirit to live as your obedient sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. And cause the way we live among others to impact their lives for good and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Closing hymn this morning is hymn number 460, Trinity Hymnal, Amazing Grace. Let's stand and sing together.